This conference is being recorded.
I told her that I put a reminder on my Outlook and said that I try to never miss them. They're so nice.
Well, that's so lovely, and what a great way to start our Heart Start call. That was Becky sharing with everyone who's listening to this as a download that she puts this in her Outlook calendar so she doesn't miss any of them.
It was recorded,
actually,
Noah, but...
What was that, Becky?
It was recorded now, wasn't it?
It was recorded for posterity.
Okay.
Forever and a day. So I'm glad you mentioned that, though, because it reminds me to share with our listeners that I am always at Fiera looking for new and improved and better ways to serve all of you in the heart. And I was at a business conference this weekend where I met with someone who's developed a new technology. And within a week or two, I think you guys will be able to order from me to have these Heart Start calls immediately sent to you via podcast and stored on your iPod the day of the recording, like within 10 minutes after they've happened. So... is that fun?
Mm-hmm.
So you can archive them for yourself, and if for some reason you can't be at one, you'll have it on your iPod to listen to.
Could we have it on a computer if we don't have an iPod?
I'm going to get into all of that. I'm pretty sure it comes to you via email through iTunes, so you can have it on your computer and just download it straight into your iPod if you want to listen to it that way. So that'll be fun. We're always looking for new and improved ways to bring the heart to you. And that is what Fiera is all about. So my name is Sheva Kaur. Other things being a licensed acupuncturist, herbalist, polarity therapist, studied Western medicine, went to pre-med, and a long time ago was a child actor when I was a kid. See, you discover all these things. You didn't know that about me, Jennifer. So now I am very happily, as you can hear probably over the phone on the smile on my face, the CEO of a company called Fiera. And Fiera is that great feeling that you get in your heart when your arms fly up over your head and a yes flies out of your mouth. It's a feeling of being simultaneously at peace inside and vital and exuberantly alive and passionate about your life. And what we do here at Fiera is teach people in a scientifically mapped out step-by-step process how to access and live from that feeling every day and the health benefits, performance benefits, relationship benefits that that brings. And the research and tools that we are licensed to teach were developed by a little institute, not so little anymore. I have to stop saying that. It's like, you know, when you're an aunt or an uncle and you say, oh, my little niece and nephew, and they're in their 20s now. I have this old image of HeartMath. That's the research institute in Northern California from my first days up there volunteering to transcribe their research. And since that time, 15 or so years ago, they have grown dramatically to work with hundreds of corporations around the world in over 40 countries and all four branches of the U.S. military and thousands, if not millions, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of people possibly anyway, in hospitals around the world and corporations and people just like you who tune into this call. And at Fiera, people who are attracted to what we teach and the science behind it are people who are dealing with all different types of stressors, of course, because Fiera is the antidote to and the opposite of stress. So people, you know, just with living with day-to-day stress, people who have post-traumatic stress from living in war zones, which is how I came to learn HeartMath from working with street children in a war zone myself when I was 19 and experiencing severe post-traumatic stress from that. Healthcare providers who are looking to get the edge in both their own stress as well as, you know, providing a stress management component to their healthcare. 97% of all healthcare visits have now been by the American Institute of Stress directly linked to stress, We also work with high-level performers, Olympic athletes, entrepreneurs, executives, entertainment industry folks that are always looking to get the edge in their game. You know, when you're working with an athlete who's competing in a situation where fractions of a second make the difference between a win or a loss, having the power of the heart behind you can make all the difference in the world. And so HeartMath's tagline is, a change of heart changes everything. And, yeah, I like that too. And at Sierra, that's what we teach people how to access. And tonight we have a very special guest on this Heart Start to Your Week call. The Heart Start calls are calls that we started as a service to the community, a way to give back and a way to help those that go through our training programs have a way to tune in regularly to the heart. And we'll talk more about that as we introduce our guest, Jennifer Cook, who's the lead singer from Una. Am I saying it right?
Una.
Una.
Hi, I'm Jennifer. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
And we won't hear everyone responding on the call because a lot of you are star sixed.
Okay.
That's something that you can do to mute your phone if you have background noise. Mm-hmm. And we will, at a certain point, welcome your questions for me and for Jennifer, and also stories of your own that you can share if you want to. And you guys can star six again just to unmute yourself so that we can hear you. And Jennifer's joining us tonight because she's a participant of Sierra's trainings and services and has done something really remarkable with them in her life related to finding her voice and her creativity and overcoming her fear of expressing that in the world into some really big and amazing breakthroughs. And so tonight's call is specifically about finding your heart's voice and your unique expression in the world and having the courage to go for it and get it out there. It turns out that there is a brain in the heart, and this brain in the heart operates somewhat like a GPS in your car. It is an inner guidance system that literally can help you make decisions in your life in all kinds of realms and arenas. And when we say better decisions, we mean decisions that lead to greater fulfillment for you and for those you love and a greater contribution for you to the world. And so if you can imagine that an acorn contains in it all the information to become an oak tree. The heart is the first organ to form in an embryo, in a fetus, and contains within it what I would call your fulfillment blueprint. I joke around with my students and my clients, and I say, you know, I could always go and try out for the Oakland Raiders to be their quarterback. But if I did that, and for those who don't know me, I'm about 5'2" when I'm stretched out in yoga class, and I weigh probably about 110 pounds at the most, wet. So me being a quarterback, and needless to say, I am a woman. So me being a quarterback for the Oakland Raiders is a joke. And if I tried to go and do that, you know, if I went to try out for that position, the experience probably would not be very fulfilling. As a matter of fact, I'd probably need a lot of arnica and some ice packs the next day if I even made it through that. So a lot of us are pushing and forcing in life to try to do what doesn't necessarily come naturally to us, what I would say is not necessarily in our blueprint, and it's not always obvious to know what's in your blueprint. How do you know? Where's the guidance system? I don't know about you all, but I was not born with an instruction manual hooked to my umbilical cord. We do have one, though, a guidance system in the heart. And the tools from HeartMath that we teach here at Fiera teach you how to access that and to overcome the stressful resistances that come up, whether it's static from our own vanities, insecurities, and embarrassment, or static from what we think society thinks we should do, or static from what we think our parents think we should do, or our friends, or our husbands, or our wives. And so when we're able to silence all the static, which the tools that we teach here allow people to do, then you can access that intelligence, that blueprint, directly in your heart and follow that guidance into greater fulfillment. And I'm going to shut up now and put Jennifer on stage because she belongs here. She is someone who followed the principles that we teach here and overcame her own insecurities, her vanities, her static to the GPS in her heart, and is now experiencing remarkable things from that. So welcome, Jennifer, and thank you so much
thank
for being
you.
Here.
Thank you.
So perfect that you would be sharing your voice with us.
Mm-hmm.
You want to tell us a little bit about your story?
Sure. I had stage fright, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate. I didn't feel that I had the confidence or the talent to get up in front of people and entertain, although I had done it behind a keyboard as a keyboardist in a band. I went off with the producer of the demo of my previous band, and we created 12 really beautiful songs that were all sung by me, and it didn't start out that way. I thought, oh, well, I'll just do scratch vocals, and I'm going to have my friend come in, and she'll be the singer. And when I did the scratch vocals, my co-producer just decided, no, this is the voice. This is the voice that we have to keep with this music. And so although I was reluctant and I fought him on it a little bit, I decided, okay, well, it's just a studio project. But then after our EP was quite successful.
What's
in the
EP? You have to educate us ignorant people here.
It's like a demo. It's a 5-song demo. And, you know, in the college music arena, we were doing fairly well. And I don't know if some of you might listen to 89.9 KCRW, but Nick Harcourt really took to a few of our songs and played them a lot last winter and spring and helped popularize Una. And now there it can be heard on a lot of stations across North America and Europe. And it was amazing because we didn't think that, I had no clue that people would take to the music.
Well, now this just gives me chills when I hear you say this, because I want to rewind the tape here to the Jennifer Cook that walked into my office year ago.
Right, I have to remind.
You're
feels
in a
like
whole
it's a
other
long,
league now, right?
It's a long time ago, it feels like, but it really wasn't. A year ago, October, was when we first launched our live gig. And I didn't want to do it. I just thought, there's no way I'm going to be able to do this. Nothing's going to come out when I get on the microphone, and I'm going to faint, and I'm going to want to throw up. And then it just came to the point where it was closer and closer to the time, and I was experiencing a lot of stress at work. I'm a school teacher as well, and I teach special ed. There was one child with autism that was causing me a lot of challenges, and he's still my student this year, and we've worked through a lot of our challenges.
With the heart, I might add,
mm-hmm,
right?
Yeah, for sure, or else I would have just lost my mind and screamed every day. But we work together now, and we found a way to, you know, work together, him and I, this student of mine. And I lost my voice. It went completely and utterly away. And I freaked out because the show was coming, and it was probably about 5 days before the show, and I didn't know what to do. And I just thought that there's just no way that the voice is going to come out. I went to an otolaryngologist because I go to Sheva for acupuncture as well, and I said, you know, I was crying, and I said, I don't know what to do. I don't think I'm going to, and I'm whispering at this point, like nothing's coming out of my vocal cords. And she said, well, what do you want to do? And I said, I think I should see an otolaryngologist and have them check it out. So I went to the otolaryngologist maybe about 3 days before the show, and he said, he put a camera down my throat, and he said, there's no way you can sing, and there's no way you can talk for the next month. You need to stop talking, and you need to stop singing. And I said, well, I have a really important show, and I can't cancel it, and I really need to do this. It was a festival in town, and it was going to be our show, and we'd already advertised it, pretty much our launch. So, of course, I went to Sheva again the day before the show, and we really talked it through, and basically a miracle happened. I mean, more than a miracle, because I know that I had a lot to do with it, and Sheva had a lot to do with it. But she showed up at the show, and I felt like I was just going to die. And when she showed up, I just felt so good. I said, oh, good, she's here to walk me through this, because I didn't think I could do it. Mm-hmm. And she helped me through heart math steps that got me through each moment-to-moment fright that I was having at that situation that evening. And I had already studied heart math, so I could apply what she was guiding me through much quicker and faster than, say, if I had never been introduced to heart math. And I got through the show, and we were invited back again the next year for the same festival because they loved us and we did a great job. And granted, going back to your story about knowing what you're able to do, what your blueprints are,
yeah.
I knew that I wasn't going to be able to physically hit the higher notes that evening. But I was able to figure, harmonize with the high notes and do a lower version of them so that I can make it through the show and sing the songs in still an emotional and beautiful way, but not physically the way I would have normally had done it, because I had literally developed a really bad case of heartburn due to stress, which has now gone away. That's another story. But
I want to share something with you, Jen, that, and with our listeners, that I think is so cool, which is you guys can hear Jennifer's a singer now, right? She's throwing around songwriting terms that I never heard of before, like EPs and this, that, and the others, and talking about, you know, your craft and dealing with the challenges of your craft with the power of your heart. And I want to rewind us even further to the woman that walked into my office the very first time I ever met you. You didn't even tell me that you wanted to sing. You didn't even mention that. You came to me because as a school teacher, and now there's tears showing up in her eyes. You came to me because, as mine too, it gives me chills, right? You came to me because as a school teacher, you kept getting colds and allergies and, you know, sore throats and stuff like that. And so I started doing heart math with you because we know that the power of the heart and accessing this unique potency it has can dramatically improve our immunity. So I said, in order for me to help you gain resistance to getting no longer getting colds and so on, we need to train you to manage your stress through the heart, and that's going to improve your immunity, right? That was our only conversation. You remember this?
Yeah, because basically the heartburn that had developed this time last year was stress-related, because I'm a vegetarian who eats completely organic, and I eat really well, and I had no idea why on earth I would have heartburn for diet reasons. So we figured out that there was something that I couldn't stomach mm-hmm. in my life that was causing my digestion problems, and it was a lot of things. It was stress. It was just the things going on, the injustices in the public school system, and the fact that I was facing one of the most frightening moments of my life of getting on stage and doing something that I had never done before and not sure if I could do it, because I had nothing to relate it to. I didn't have a prior experience of singing in front of people to really say, oh, yeah, I've done it before, I can do it again. I had to, you know, start from a fresh point.
And I'm sure the people listening to our call have dreams and visions and passions that they want to try but they've never done before. So, you know, it's like when you're a toddler, you just do stuff until you can, right? You learn how to walk. You learn how to chew. You learn how to tie your shoe. And you don't worry about looking stupid not being able to do it. But as we get older, somehow we can keep ourselves from trying new things, even if our heart wants to do it, right? That's where you were at when I first met you. It took you 6 weeks to even tell me you wanted to sing. This is before you ever got a gig,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it came out one day, we were talking, and like, oh, under your breath, oh, yeah, well, by the way, I might be getting these colds and sore throats because I kind of, you know, wrote these songs and kind of want to be a singer, kind of, sort of. You remember
it was
that?
It was almost like preventative. Like, if I couldn't sing, then I would have an excuse.
Exactly.
You know? But I knew that,
that
I had to
get over. That was part of your stress,
it.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It was your stress that was keeping you back.
Mm-hmm.
So what were you afraid of then in those 6 weeks and all that time before? Because you told me, I didn't even know this, but recently you told me that at the time you even tried to go to a community college singing class, and
yeah.
you almost failed because you wouldn't stand up and sing.
Right. The very first voice class I took, I couldn't get in front of the class. It was a class of 30, and I was too shaky. I was very shaky, and I felt nauseous, and I would sign up at the very end and then pray that that the class would be dismissed before they got to me. So it took me about 4 weeks before I started to sing, and by then everybody was way far ahead of me. And then I retook the class again, and now I take private lessons from this teacher because he really helped me a lot. So it's a combination, you know, of everything, getting more comfortable, doing things by putting myself in situations that conquer that challenge.
And what gave you the power to do that? Because when I first met you, you were so shy about this that even though I had nothing to do with your singing, I was asking you all about your life.
Right.
You didn't mention this. What was it that helped you start accessing the courage to make this shift to now where a week ago you performed at the Staples Center, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my God, in a stadium.
Oh, I think that what it was is being held accountable. I had a partner that I really cared about musically, and I felt like I needed to be accountable for the fact that we've spent a year and a half to 2 years creating an album worth of songs, and it was time to now perform them, and I couldn't back down because I wouldn't be just letting myself down, but I'd be letting someone that I highly respect down as well. And I felt like it was my duty and also what I really deeply wanted to do, but just didn't feel like I had the
it
courage.
It was your blueprint.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I wasn't sure because I had never really sung before and I didn't have self-esteem in that area.
And I'm sure, and I can totally relate to this because I've never built a business before. And I think it's really interesting because what I heard you say then is that your care for your partner is what motivated you beyond your insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
And we know from heart math research that care creates order in the heart rhythm, opens the brain beyond its survival fears to access higher states of creativity and power. And similarly, so for me, right, building a business, it's just my passion and care for people like you, wanting their dreams to come true, that allows me to overcome my insecurity of, I don't know how to build a business or run a business. And then when you step into trying something new that your heart is calling you to, it's exhilarating, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? Tell me a little bit about what that was like when you found the legs and discovered, because I know the first
mm-hmm.
time you performed,
yeah.
we met that night before you went and anchored in some heart power for the performance, right?
Yeah, it had to do with color. You said, I want you to really concentrate on a color that you can breathe in and breathe out of your heart, surround your body with this color that calms you down and grounds you. And it was aqua that night. And now what I do is every Sunday when I take my dogs for a walk at the beach, I use the blue that I see in the ocean and the sky as a reminder of, oh, it's time to really, really use this peaceful time to do my heart math, which is breathing in appreciation and confidence and breathing out appreciation and confidence and just surrounding my whole body, just pumping it with this color of ocean and sky, which I equate to calmness, appreciation, and confidence. And a lot of times I use calmness. I use that because calmness to me leads to confidence and appreciation. Calmness to me is like the key to it all. It's calmness. And I know other people may choose a different key word, and maybe they start with appreciation first, but I always think of calmness because, you know, calm is what I think of trees and mountains and beautiful things in the world, like oceans and sky and clouds.
And how did that help you with your singing?
I use it as a way to create a flow, like less of a nervous feeling, because it's really hard to sing when you're nervous. You have to find a way that your nervousness never makes your voice quiver or makes you look nervous, because everybody doesn't want to, no one feels comfortable seeing somebody that's not comfortable. So I guess I use it as a way to just even out my heartbeat and get ready to get on there and just shine the best I can. And it took me about 10 shows before I felt like, okay, now bring it on. Bring it on. Because before it was like, oh, no, another show. Oh, no. And it took me a good 10 shows before I felt like, okay, I can do whatever show is brought to me. I can just bring it to me, and I'll do it.
And you hear the confidence in her voice, right? You've really owned that and embodied that, and I really appreciate you bringing that up, that it's not necessarily a change that happens overnight, even though it's a change that happens in a heartbeat, meaning you use those tools in the moment before you go on stage, and if you're on stage and you make a mistake, I've seen you instantly get back to that place, the zone where you can perform at your best. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, all the insecurities and stuff that come up that cause you to need to do those steps don't necessarily go away in an instant. They could still surface. And now you're at a place where you've made that choice enough that you've stabilized there and are taking on projects that are bigger than you ever even preconceived you would receive, huh? Isn't that mm-hmm. true?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like I can do more than I could have in the past even have fathomed. Mm-hmm. I just feel like the person that I know about, the person who I am now is just not even comparable to how unconfident and low self-esteem of a person that I was a year ago. And I find myself smiling a lot more, mm-hmm. just smiling in the car, smiling at the beach when I'm walking the dogs. Just I have much more of an appreciation for not just myself but for other things around me. And, you know, just basically Sheva just started with a very basic thing, like, I saw you roll your eyes when I complimented your outfit. And I said, oh, yeah, well, you know, it's just my teacher outfit, so I don't really feel like myself. And she said, but even the roll of the eyes is a negative reaction, and you really need to concentrate on not having those sarcastic negative responses to when somebody wants to appreciate you. And that was a tough one to conquer.
Hmm. So how did you conquer that?
Well, I had to catch myself a lot. I, you know, not roll my eyes or not get upset so quickly or just not assume that somebody was lying to me just to be nice. Like, if they said you had a nice outfit on, even if they really didn't mean that and they just wanted to say something nice, I would have to search for that appreciation of, you know what, they just wanted to say something nice to me and I appreciate that, even though I know that I'm, you know, wearing my yoga outfit or whatever. You know, and I appreciate, you know, the essence of what was being done, the action, rather than what, you know, the details that don't really matter. I was looking at the bigger picture there.
Mm. Yeah, definitely the heart helps you see the essence of things rather than get caught up in the little stuff, huh? I know when you had your performance at the Staples Center, you said that that really was an asset to you because there were a lot of details that were not going well. You wanted to tell us anything about what you did there?
Yeah, it was a rainy day, and there was a lot of confusion as to where the band was loading in their equipment. And we were all out of breath and tired by the time it was time to perform. But for some reason now, it's easier to get into the zone and just forget everything that has happened that was negative and just focus on what's in the now and what's to come and make it as positive as you can from that point. And so that's what worked out. And it was a great show.
I'm so proud of you, Jennifer. It's so empowering for me to get to sit here and receive the voicemails and the stories you send, and it inspires me to want to keep going and teach people and share these tools because, I mean, it's just to see like this before and after snapshot of what you've blossomed into and the gift that is to so many people because Una now is, you know, reaching people all across the world and bringing them this joy of your music, which if you kept holding that back in your insecurity, you know, we wouldn't be the beneficiaries of that. I'm wondering if there's anything that you want to say to listeners who have a passion or a dream or and they're not sure, you know. They're like, well, I don't know if I want to do that because maybe that's like Sheva trying to go play football. And they just don't know.
Well, I have a few things to say about that. One is keep educating yourself in whatever it is that you are scared of doing, whether it be going to conferences or just practicing it. Find a class that you can join where you're with other beginners or intermediate people that are doing the same things, like, for instance, my voice class. I felt comfortable after a while, even though there were some singers that had been singing for years. I thought, oh, well, I can learn from those people and feel comfortable because we're all students together. And the other thing is I went to a conference because I also write. And I went to a conference on writing, and the woman was a very successful editor of children's entertainment, and she had because that's what I like to write is children's entertainment, and she mentioned that, you know, it's okay to keep your day job. You're not cheating your art. It's okay to have two lives. I teach during the day. And I work really hard for my students. And then around 3 o'clock, 3:30, I start my second part of the day, which is my singing career and the business aspect of it as well and the creative part of it. And, just taking guitar lessons and piano lessons and whatever it is, I try to fit both of them into my life because without the teaching, it would be really hard to sustain myself. And then at that point, my little empire that I'm building would crumble because then I would think, well, I'm a failure because I'm not making any money as a singer. But really, you know, I'm much happier not having to worry whether or not my singing career is going to make me millions or not because when it comes down to it, I'm doing it. And that's all that matters is that I'm doing what I love. I'm practicing this art that I feel was a gift and that I'm utilizing it and in any possible capacity. So whether it is that I have to teach during the day that I love doing, it's okay to have a second job and not feel like your career that you were hoping to have, like let's say, for instance, my music career, isn't bringing home the food. It's still something that is a viable part of my life, and I identify myself as a musician as well as a teacher. It's okay to do both.
I'm really glad that you brought that up because, you know, there's a kind of glamour or mythology in our culture that following your heart means leaping off of a cliff in some kind of blind leap of faith. And I, in all my years of really applying the HeartMath tools to listen to that inner GPS, my heart has never, or very rarely anyway, asked me to have any kind of leap of faith. The heart's voice is usually that calm, inner, confident, practical, very caring voice that says, look, here's how you're going to take care of your needs and just do this other stuff, you know? And then it will always look out for you taking care of your own needs. It will never throw you into life without a life raft. So I think there's a misnomer that following the heart is following this kind of irrational passion. In fact, the heart gives us a stable platform for our passion to ground itself with a lot of clarity. And as we can hear in your voice, a lot of confidence and certainty, which is so beautiful. I wish we had a before and after call so people could have heard the timidity that Miss Jennifer Cook stepped into my office with just a year ago. So beautiful, so truly beautiful. Jennifer, what would you say to somebody who feels like they know what their heart's calling is, but they feel insecure that they're good enough to do it?
I would say find a way to add it to your life in any capacity possible. If it's drawing, if it's skateboarding, or if it's being a soccer coach, I don't know. It could be anything. I would say find a way to put it in your life in some capacity, and don't forget about it. And just maybe every so often take a step back and ask yourself, is there enough of this in my life? Should I add some more? And then if you need to add more, keep adding it until it becomes almost like 50-50, like this is part of your life as well now, and it no longer has to be hidden in a corner of the depths of your minds as something that you wish you could have done. Oh, now it's too late. I can't do it anymore. It's amazing how I've seen older people in their 80s. I've met them in situations that I couldn't imagine. They're learning an instrument for the very first time at 80 years old. I had another class. I took a Spanish class, and I met a couple in their 70s learning Spanish for the very first time. So one of the things I always say to myself is it's never too late. It's never too late. You don't have to put a marker or a time limit on anything. And that's one thing I just always have to remember, because I just turned 30, and I feel like, oh, my God, nobody wants to listen to a 30-year-old in a band. They all want to see the 18 and the 19-year-olds. And I just felt like, oh, what a lie, that I'm lying to myself. So what if I'm 30? If I'm giving something that people want to hear and I'm doing it because I love to do it, then who cares how old you are? It doesn't matter. There's no time limit.
So that's a perfect example, right, of one of those things that the brain, the static in the mind, the chatter, the conditioning,
mm-hmm.
the things that we tell ourselves that obstruct us from following our heart or our dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And so using HeartMath tools can get you directly out of those lies.
Yeah. My father-in-law learned how to climb rocks, big, 100-feet rocks in Utah at the age of 65.
That's great.
And it's just never too late. I just hope that people can remember that there's no time limit, and take your time. If you want to start an instrument at 40 because you've always wanted to pick up the guitar and you feel like, oh, my gosh, this is so hard, think about where you're going to be at 50 with that guitar, 10 years of guitar. You're going to be playing songs to your grandchildren or to your nieces or nephews or that you wouldn't have done had you never picked up that guitar at 40.
So what would you tell someone, or what would you want to say to someone who doesn't have a clue what their blueprint is and doesn't feel any particular calling or connection and is really hungry to experience the quality of passion and
confidence that you're feeling right now?
Well, I'm into education, obviously, talking about being a school teacher and taking classes all the time, and I don't think education ever ends. So I would always advise somebody to look through a college catalog or, you know, a community college catalog and take a class. Maybe you're the next yoga instructor extraordinaire, you know, and you didn't know because you only had one yoga class per month or whatever, but then you just dived in and you decided to take 3 yoga classes per week and you became addicted to it because you realized how good it was for you and how good it made you feel. And now you want to be a yoga instructor, and then you go take the classes to become a yoga instructor. Now you have a new career. It's like I think that you just have to expose yourself to a lot of things. I never knew that I would be a rock climber, and now I'm a rock climber.
Mm-hmm.
It just never interests me, and then I realize, wow, I really like this, and it's a great way to exercise and camp and get out in nature, which I love to do. So I think you just have to expose yourself to a lot of things, a lot of new things. Never sit at home twiddling your thumbs wondering, what should I do today? I'm so bored, I'm just going to sit and watch reruns. I mean, I love movies, so I'll sit at home and watch a movie any day. But I just feel like a lot of people feel like it's too late or they don't know how to do something, so I'm not going to do it at all. Educating yourself in every possible way is my advice.
So I'm sitting here listening to you speak with such confidence and clarity and certainty and openness to trying new things, which was not necessarily the Jennifer that I met a year ago. I'm wondering how the heart played a role in your life in opening up new possibilities and new qualities of confidence in you.
One thing that I was able to do this year that I wasn't able to do last year with my rock climbing was climb over 100 feet outside. And I'd only been climbing indoors in a gym and very short distance, short heights outside. And this time I decided I'm going to challenge myself. And I kept going and going. And I was petrified when I finally got to this point where, wow, I'm really far away. I could hear the voices saying, are you okay? Because I wasn't moving. And they were so far away from me. And I the wind, and I was exposed to the elements. And I looked up, and there was so much more rock to climb, and I thought, oh, my God.
You're making my hands and feet sweat.
I felt so exposed, and so I kept thinking, okay, you can do this, you can do this, and pumping this confidence through myself, knowing that I could do this and that, you know, I had a rope that was going, and someone making sure that I wasn't going to fall, that I would be okay. And I made it, and I did it. And I don't think that I would have had the courage to do that last year. I would have been like, no, time to come down. Mm-mm, not ready for this.
That's the old Jennifer that I knew, right there.
Not ready.
You start to see her peek her head out. It's so beautiful to see the transformation that the heart has given you. Thank you so much for sharing this with us. Is there anything else you want to say before we open up the lines for questions or other people's stories?
It's never too late.
Well, it's never too late right now. You can *6 to unmute yourself if you've muted. And, you know, we really encourage you to either ask questions of me or Jennifer or share your own story of the power of the heart in your life and finding that sense of internal guidance. Maybe we could just take a moment while people are pondering if they want to say something to shift our attention together to the area around the heart. And to just breathe as if the breath is coming in through the area around the heart and out through the area around the heart. And I want you to connect with a time when you felt like you just knew, without knowing how you knew, you just knew something. And you breathe that quality of knowing and certainty and confidence in through the heart and out through the heart. Just notice how that feels. What does that do to your body? What does that do to your emotions or your thinking? And then you could connect with a time when it may have been difficult for you to speak up or step up, like Jennifer's stories about getting on stage or climbing the rock. but you did it anyway. You felt, you found a place inside that said yes. And just connect with how that feels to tap that place inside you. Courage comes from the French word cœur, which means heart. So I really thank you, Jennifer, for sharing your remarkable courage with us today. And I'm going to open up the lines in case anybody would like to ask any questions or share any stories of their own. One thing I do want to mention as well is that the tools that Jennifer learned that helped her do all this in her life are available through beginner heart math workshops that we teach, which she brought her mother to. And then there's advanced courses as well, which I'll talk to you about later today, Jen. And you can also take them through webinars. We have a webinar coming up beginning on November 6th, a 4-week webinar, and you can attend the first night for free if you wish. And you can register for that by going to our website, which is www.fiera, F like fantastic, YERA.com. And if you're listening to this as a downloaded recording or a podcast, you can also email us your questions or call us at 310-581-1507, the phone number. And our email is ask@fiera, F like fantastic, YERA.com. And we have these Heart Start calls every Monday night from 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific time. This particular call will be recorded and available for the next week at 641-985-5108. Access code 992522 pound if you want to listen to it again. And you can listen to our previously recorded calls and this call as well in a week's time by going to www.fiera.com/heartstart.html. And all of our prior calls are there with the summaries of them that you can read as well.
Can I say something?
Yes, is that Becky?
Yes, this is Becky.
Hey, Becky.
I just thought, everything she said was great. It was really, really wonderful. And one thing that particularly struck me was a comment she said I thought was really important, that people don't feel comfortable, and I may not be saying it exactly right, people don't feel comfortable around people who are not comfortable or something like that. And it reminded me of an experience where I had always gotten along with everyone and been very well liked everywhere and at work and things like that. And then I went through a particularly stressful time in my life at home and at work, and suddenly it just kept coming to me that just in general that people didn't like me, people didn't want to work with me, people didn't want to work in my office, and I was just shocked and didn't understand it and didn't know, you know, what's different, you know, everybody likes me, what, you know, what's going on. And I did not understand it, and it took me forever. But when I finally figured it out, it was so enlightening for me to figure out that people were uncomfortable being around me because I was so stressed and ill at ease. It just felt bad to be around somebody that stressed, and that was the only thing that was different. And I think that's really a big, big thing.
I'm so glad that you pointed that out and kind of honed our focus there, Becky, because, you know, some of the research around the heart shows that the heart's rhythm, first of all, becomes erratic when we're stressed and is ordered when we feel fiera. And its rhythm electromagnetically can be measured by standard equipment 8 feet away from the body, which means we're walking around in each other's heart field, if you will, all the time. And when that field is erratic or stressed, you can sense it. Mm-hmm. And it does create this kind of contagion of stress. And it's so important for us to understand that, because when we're stressed, what we need is to feel more loved and more accepted, and often what we feel is more alienated, more rejected. And so to remember that, hey, it's not personal. People aren't reacting to me personally. They may be uncomfortable with my stress, but so am I. Then you don't have to personalize that and add layers of stress on top of stress. And we teach people how to neutralize that and create success and harmony and fulfillment out of those types of situations here at Fiera. But very important thing that you focused us on. Thank you, Becky.
It was so confusing, because still doing and saying, you know, nice things and still being the same person, and just so very confusing.
Well, that's it, because energy doesn't lie, and our words can say one thing.
Right.
But when we are feeling stressed out, it's palpable. And so we've got to be able to make the change at the feeling world level, and you got to hear Jennifer share what happens when that's applied with sincerity and with tools to help you do it.
Becky, if you don't mind me asking, this is Jennifer, how did you turn that around, your stress to non-stress?
I'm still working on it.
Well, that's why we have you on the Heart Start calls, right, Becky?
Exactly. I'm on these calls, and I'm doing the HeartMath freeze framer, and I just got an M-Wave, and this is helping.
Well, I feel warmth from you all the way over here. I thought you know, that you had turned it around, because I can feel it in your voice that you're a lot calmer than what you were describing.
What a sweet thing to say. Thank you very much. I appreciate that so much.
You're welcome.
I've really, really enjoyed your call. It's very, very, very good.
Thank you.
And I'm proud of you. I'm really, really proud of you. I mean, it's wonderful to hear your story. I'm very proud of you.
And this is one of the things, what's happening between you two right now, Becky and Jen, that I love about our Heart Mastery program, which you guys, if anyone listening wants to explore that, you can find it on our website, both on the home page as well as on the services page. You can click in and find out more about Heart Mastery. But Heart Mastery is a community of people that are applying these tools and going for it. And the beauty of that is you feed back to each other, just like you just did, Jen, right? And people get to hear, oh, wow, they receive that love, that care, that acknowledgement of their growth and their, you know, their change, their transformation in the heart, and it's such a privilege for me to get to see that and be a part of it, but so exhilarating to see a community of people start to come together and inspire change and transformation in each other. Well, I thank you all so much for joining us on the call tonight. If anybody has questions that haven't been answered, please do call us. We are really here for you as a Fiera family and community. We're at 310-581-1507. And again, you can register for our classes on our website, fiera.com, or by calling us. And we look forward to joining with all of you again next week in the Heart Start call next Monday. If you're not receiving email reminders about these calls with the call-in information and would like to, you can also sign up with your email address to do that on our homepage. And I look forward to talking to you all next week. As we're closing the call tonight, what I'd like to ask we do is take a moment to drop our attention into the area around the heart and to breathe in through the heart and out through the heart and connect with our compassion and care for the thousands, actually now hundreds of thousands of families and people in San Diego and Malibu here in California who are being evacuated from their homes because of fires. And maybe we can just extend the oasis of peace and confidence and enthusiasm that we've tasted in the Heart Start call and radiate it to them in their time of need and crisis. Thank you all so much for joining us, and have a beautiful night. Good night, everyone.
Thank you.
thank you so much. And thank you for that last thought.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.